Session number 9407.
Mr. White, rail 5.
And another hospital, I forget the name of it. The idea was that there was a great deal of interest in the medical profession then in war wounds, because you know, there was something new to that generation of doctors and so on. So for allowing myself to be the object of lectures to the students on my wounds and x-rays and so forth, I would get the opinion of the chief surgeon concerned as to whether we should amputate or not. We did this, and they all three of them came down on the side of Gizane and myself. Yes, the obvious sensible thing would be amputation. So we went back to the hospital. Straight away I was scheduled for the theatre. Went in, I had the amputation, and I think a fortnight from going, no, 3 weeks from going in, I was out from hospital on crutches. I then waited some month or 2 months, and I went to Roehampton to Hangers.
Hangers,
they were the limb fitters at that time. Because I had no income, I had to have a pauper's leg. They made me a wooden leg with a thigh corset and straps and so on. And they fitted me with that. Went up a couple of times for fittings, and they strapped it on, and I walked up and down for half an hour with a stick, got a taxi and went home. And then I had a period of walking, practicing walking with that thing, and I tried riding a bike, get some exercise. I was then offered a job in the Left Wing bookshop, Lavender Hill, temporary job, which I did for a couple of 3 months while I was getting used to this leg. And I then got a job at the old Lagonda Works in Staines.
Did you, looking back on it, do you think it was the right decision to have the amputation?
Oh, definitely, without any doubt whatsoever. Oh, yes, because it was up to me then to manipulate an artificial leg, and if ordinary people can do it, well, then I could do it. Why not?
What about your other wounds that you got in Spain? Have they healed up completely?
Well, the hip wound gave me no bother beyond the fact that whenever I've had x-rays, they always show up the little particles of bullet in the hip, little white dots, to the consternation of the radiologists and the doctors and so forth, till I explain what they are.
But they don't hurt you?
They don't give me any trouble. The shoulder is another matter. I have very restrictive movement of the arm and shoulder, and of course the strength. And there's been a shortening of the arm as well as a consequence. But otherwise, it's not held me back. I suppose the biggest handicap I suffer from is trying to fit a light bulb into a pendant lamp.
In view of the wounds that you suffered, do you regret volunteering for Spain?
No. Absolutely no.
Are you proud of the fact that you fought in Spain?
I'm proud of the fact that I was accepted to go to Spain by not only by the Communist Party, but through them and through other agents on the way down, by the Spanish people who accepted me there. And that I'm proud of. Otherwise, I was only doing what I thought was right and proper and needed doing in my light. And I could make a contribution, I thought. Therefore, it was my job to do so.
Going back, whilst you were having the hospital treatment, who did you get to know whilst you were in hospital at Murcia?
Practically no one beyond the staff. I was visited once by Harry Pollitt. He came over there. I was also visited by John Langdon Davis, who I also later met in Barcelona on my way out.
Who was Langdon Davis?
He was a correspondent and author. I don't know what paper he... Now, I don't remember what paper or organisation he wrote for.
What kind of impression did they make on you, these visitors? For example, Pollitt.
Well, Pollitt, of course, he was the leader of my party. He was a communist. And therefore, we had mutual respect, understanding, and agreement on things. And therefore, I was proud that he came and visited me in that sense. Although, of course, he came out there to visit all the British brigaders, wherever they were.
You, going back to when you joined the unit at the Jarama Front, what was the morale of the people in the line when you got there? Were they depressed at the setbacks?
No. Of course, they'd just gone through 2 or 3 days of hell before they got to that situation where they were when I joined them. I just missed that. But, no, those in my section weren't demoralized in any way whatsoever. No, they were fully standing on ground, and when we were ordered over the top, they were over the top as well.
What kind of a man was Hurd?
Well, he was a little tough, nuggety Australian. And he was a seaman, ex-seaman. A very tough guy, but a very sound, good chap. I don't like it, chap. But he was the section leader. And on the morning that we went into this action, I got killed, wounded, Hurd informed me that he'd been made group leader. He'd take over the group as group leader, and I was to be made section leader in his place. This was during forenoon. In the field. And a couple of hours after that, after he told me that during the morning, we went into this action. That was that.
Why were you selected as section leader if you'd only just arrived?
Well, they knew my history, they knew who I was and what I was, they knew my qualifications, if you can call them that, for being there at all, and people were being killed, and therefore all the time, people who were in leading positions especially, they were getting killed off individually. And so you all the time had to make up, and you just have to take the best material you've got, whatever they may be. So presumably they considered that I was the one. All the others of the section they can't all be section leaders, they've got to choose one. So I don't know on what basis really they decided, but that was done, and he informed me of that and said it would be confirmed. But I never got to operate as a leader, section leader at all.
Do you think that your Royal Navy training was of value to you?
Oh, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. I know I never fired a shot, and therefore my marksmanship and so forth was of no use whatsoever. And I don't suppose really my ability to handle a weapon was of much good, as it turned out. But I think my training and discipline in the Navy gave me something, you know, in that situation. I can't say.
Did you have much contact with the people of Spain?
No. Apart from the hospital, really. It's the only time I met and was able to talk to Spaniards. And that was the Spanish, the staff, members of the staff, or wounded Spaniards in the hospital.
Did the Spaniards in the hospital speak much to you about the war?
No.
Or about the struggle that was going on in Spain?
No, they couldn't. Because they knew less than I did, the staff, the nurses and those people in the hospital in Murcia, they knew less about what was going on than I did myself, in the main. No, there was nothing much that we could discuss with them, that I could discuss with them on those lines.
Did Republican Spain surprise you in any way? Was it what you expected, or were there any surprises?
I don't think there were any surprises. Of course, theoretically, I had learned a lot about Spain as it was, the history of Spain and all that went on in politically, and the battles that the Spanish people have been involved in, the miners, all the way up to the situation with Franco. And one heard and learned about all that here in England when you knew it.
What about air attacks at Murcia? Were there any of those at Murcia?
Not at Murcia. We weren't attacked by air. I think there were a couple of warnings. But the town and the hospital was never attacked.
Was there much air activity at Jarama?
Yes, there was not a great deal of air activity, because the Germans and the Italians were busy bombing and gunning various parts all over the country, in the cities especially. Where we were, it was hand-to-hand fighting, literally, you might call it. And there was not much point in using aircraft a great deal, because they had the weight of arms, and then aircraft weren't up to the stage that they later achieved as a weapon against infantry and so on. No, from the First World War, I mean, it was very... When I came back from Spain to Wandsworth, after I came out of hospital, the Wandsworth Trades Council, which had previously refused to have me on the council because I was a communist, approached me and asked me if I would be the secretary of the Wandsworth Trades Council Aid Spain Committee, which they'd set up officially while I was in Spain, asked me if I would take over as secretary of that, which I gladly accepted, and I carried it out for a year. And then I was moving from Wandsworth, so I got Jack Brent, who was staying with me, he took over as the secretary of the Trade Council Aid Spain Committee, and they continued the campaign for support for Spanish people in that way officially.
So the Trades Council had had a change of mind because of you being in Spain?
Yes. They'd changed their outlook with the circumstances which had changed. Also, two men that I'd worked with at the Aluminium Plant and Vessel Company were working at Lagonda's in Staines. Lagonda works in Staines, and they were in the tool room. And although they were Trotskyists, they disagreed with me, many things. Nevertheless, they said that they would get me a job at their factory in the tool room with them. I said, well, I'm not recognized as a skilled man at all. They said, nevertheless, you can do the work. We'll get you in there because they need people, and it's up to you to do the job. That's all right. So they did, and I started as a tool room grinder, in cutter grinding of tools and so forth. I got away with that. Then standing on this new leg became impossible. And I was laid up for several weeks, and I had to relinquish that job. And they put me on inspection. I went on to inspection, and I again had to lay off for several weeks, and I went and got a job as doing some jig boring at another place, and I did that for a period. Again, it was too much, the standing, so I finally went back to Lagonda's, into their inspection department again, and I took over marking off there. I became the shop steward for inspection, and then I was elected by works ballot. We had 32 shop stewards, but I was elected as the convener of shop stewards, and I was running as the convener of shop stewards. We set up joint production committees in the works, and I was the joint secretary of the joint production committee with the managing director of the works. Of course, we were all doing everything to get production. We had women, we got them equal pay for whatever job they could do, and they went on and they got the pay for it. We were short-handed. A lot of our men had gone voluntary into the war.